is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, pastor here at Radio Missions, First Baptist Church of Algiers, where the gospel goes out week after week over the Old Trailblazer broadcast, also the Voice of Truth. Let me give you my website. I'd like you folks, if you have a computer, go there and look us up on our website. It's radiomission.org, www.radiomission.org. You see there our mission statement, those things which we believe, and then also we have updates on newsletters there, updating our conditions here in Baton Rouge where we were relocated to, evacuated when the storm came. But we're bringing you this study on the revelation of Jesus Christ now, and we're getting down close to the end of it. We're looking at the thousand-year reign of Christ. In our last study, we saw that there'd be no hunger, no lack of food, there'd be no starving children, no cry for bread during the reign of our blessed Lord. Listen to God's word in Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of the grapes, that him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Listen again to Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Listen to Psalm 67. Then shall the earth yield her increase. In the third chapter of Genesis, we saw there, after man had disobeyed God, he had driven him from the garden there in Eden, Jehovah Jesus said unto Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Then we notice in Genesis 4, we saw that in our last study, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. All of those things. Now listen, this means that when Christ comes back to the dead, this means that when Christ comes back to the dead in Christ are raised. Let me go back and read that again. This means that when Christ comes back and the dead in Christ are raised, when Christ takes his place as a rightful ruler and monarch of this earth, he will lift the curse from the creation which was placed upon it because of sin. Then the earth shall yield her increase, according to Isaiah 55:13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And so on and so on. So we see all those things. It's hard to conceive or understand the marvelous changes that will be wrought out in this earth during the reign of our Lord here in person. I don't cease, and I can't cease to praise the Lord as I look to that time. It may be soon, may be later, but as a blood-bought sinner, I will rule and reign with my blessed Lord. Now let's notice other changes. We saw in our last study how the serpent, his dust shall be his meat. And the question has been asked often, what about the human life during those glorious days? There shall be no more thence an infant of days. We saw that in our last study. Men and women shall live in those days as long as they did before the flood. How this will be brought about, we do not know, except that it will be the blessing of the Heavenly Father upon this earth. You may ask the question, how do you know these things will come to pass? Simply because God's Word says so. We are told in the Word of God that there will be a sevenfold increase of light during the personal reign of our Lord. You find that there in Isaiah 30:26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. According to God's word here, the atmosphere of the earth will be of such a character as to make moonlight nights as bright as day, and the day 7 times brighter. The curse being lifted of the earth bringing forth her increase, and the earth bringing forth her increase, the light of the moon and sun being increased sevenfold, the physical condition of man here on earth will be lived in an atmosphere of the greatest blessing man has ever known. According to Isaiah 33:24, the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. life will be wonderfully prolonged, and as we have already said, one dying at the age of 100 years will still be considered as dying young, and then only as a judgment for sin. Let me call your attention to this fact. We read of no death during the 1,000 years except those who die by reason of transgression and disobedience against the laws of our Lord. This glorious age of the personal reign of our Lord on earth, which will cover 1,000 years, will come and go. And when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. We saw that in our past study. It shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. After the 1,000 years of the glorious reign of Christ on earth, we see the devil loose from his prison, where he had been held captive during those 1,000 years, and immediately he rushed back to his old task, deluding and deceiving mankind, that he might lead them against the Lord God of heaven. It seemed like a great pity, after the world had rested for 1,000 years, that this old arch-enemy Satan must be loosed and let loose upon it. But this brief period of Satan's last freedom proves that he is still Satan, and that man is still man, even though Satan has suffered in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and man has experienced paradise for 1,000 years. Immediately Satan gets busy, goes up and down the breadth of the earth, and to the four corners, and gathers together every rebel who is in his heart, has not bowed to the Son of God, and leads them, the number of which is as the sand of the sea, against the camp of the saints and the enthroned Son of God. And this question will immediately arise: what will happen to this bunch of rebels? The patience of God being exhausted and the enmity of man being fully demonstrated, fire from God descends from heaven, devoured earth's wicked host. This brings to an end forever the sinning human race. What a tragedy that man will not have the Lord Jesus to rule over him. Oh, my friend, isn't this study of the 1,000 years been a gracious time? I believe we could go back and start all over again and bring it to you once again. And listen, now we're going to get started. We have a few moments left. Speaking about the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment. In our study of the book of Revelation, we come now to see the great white throne judgment. Following the resurrection of the dead, the doomed, and the damned, as recorded in Revelation 20:11, the 1,000-year reign of Christ now being over, Satan has been loosed out of his pit for a little season, led to rebellion against Christ and his saints. Every rebel now has been destroyed by fire. Satan has been cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophets are. The time has come for the resurrection of the rest of the dead, which are the wicked dead, and the day of judgment has come. Oh, my friend, how often have I said that I don't even want to talk about this judgment? But we find we must. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. If you will, if you're able, get your Bibles and let's read, beginning at Revelation 20, verse 11. Let's read that whole passage. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heavens fled away. There was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is, the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, my friend, I know that men won't have it. Men will not have it. They say that a God would not do such a thing. What a good God would not sin. But listen, judgment always precedes a new age, and we're going to see that. Paul said there on Mars Hill at Athens one day, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth every man everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day into which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. The great white throne judgment is the judgment Paul is talking about. In 2 Peter 3, he says, But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Paul said again, appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. Oh, my friend, what a day. What a day that's going to be. I often just try to describe. I often attempt to describe that day. And the Bible is so clear on what's going to happen. It says they'll stand there before the great white throne, and the books will be open. And the books, another book will be open, which is the book of life. And I envision or believe that there'll be a day when folks will stand there, preachers will stand there, harlots will stand there, whoremongers will stand there, not because they're that, but because they never turned to Christ. And the Lord will say to the recording angel, Mr. Angel, look in the book and see if this man's name is there. And he'll call his name. May call your name, my friend. He may just call your name. And the angel will look. And he'll say, no, his name's not there. He said, look again. Go back and look again. We don't want to make a mistake here. He goes back and he says, no, his name is not there. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Did you know that one thing, that individual has nothing to say? Not one word. You won't have a time to talk to the judge. You won't have an attorney there representing you, saying, well, you know, he'd been a good man all his life. He did for the poor and gave money to the soup kitchen and all. No, it won't be any of that. This time has done come. All of those things, it says, and the books will be open. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. I asked you, is your name written in the book of life? Will you stand there, pastor, deacon, Bible teacher, professor? Will you be there? Oh, no, I teach a Bible school. Oh, no, I'm a professor at the so-and-so seminary. Oh, no, I head the theological school of learning up here and wherever. But, Lord, is that going to get you to heaven? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. The only exception to that rule of standing at that great white throne is to be washed in the blood of the Son of God. There on Calvary's mountain, the Lord died. Oh, he died to pay our sin debt in full. And he did. And folks won't have it. You won't have it. No, sir. You young people won't have it. You want the gay nightlife and all of that things that come with a high rolling living, don't you? You want to do those things. But no. No, sir. It'll be turn or burn. Just like I told you, we have that little study here by Pastor Shelton. Turn or burn. And I tell you this morning, tonight, turn or burn. What are you resting on, my friend? Is it your good works? You're dipping soup in a soup line? Is it you've fed the hungry and fed the poor? Those things are good, but that's not salvation. Is it because you made a decision for Jesus? No, no. Every man, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess him as Lord, not Jesus. Jesus is not our Savior, it's Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ sits on that throne, and he says, open the books. And the books were open. And he said, is your name there, my friend? Oh, preacher, is your name there? Are you being true to your congregation, preacher? Are you? Are you? If not, you be there with them. And they'll rail on you, and they'll gnash their teeth on you. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Remember, my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250.